Everything that you are, everything that we need, we lift you up. We recognize our need for you in our lives. When nothing else will do, God, you are the one. You are the man. The only cure for everything I feel within. Leaving what was lost in all that could have been. Oh, this is a healing kind of love. Oh, and you are the truest friend. Staying through the night when I was at my end, comforting my heart till it was light again.
Grand earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard. Through it all, through it all, Lord, we sing it in faith this morning. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. With my soul.
Give him a shout of praise this morning. Yes, Jesus.
Through it all.
Yes, Jesus.
Through it all. My eyes are on you.
We worship you, Father.
Through it all.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Through it all, it is well.
Yes, Jesus.
Through it all.
You're our great teacher, oh God.
My eyes are on you, and it is well.
Holy Spirit, thank you for being here with us and teaching us. In the midst of anything going on in our lives, you are a great teacher. You are our counselor and our guide. We thank you for your peace and your presence. Jesus, we know that you promised peace to us. Your peace that you give us. Your peace that you leave us. And you give it to us not as the world gives it to us. But you give a lasting gift, a gift that doesn't decay or fade or get taken away or robbed or stolen or broken or run down. Your peace is a gift like no other. And because of that peace, we can worship you with words like, "It is well with my soul." Thank you, Father. In this moment of worship, Father, we lift up people all across our community that are dealing with things that steal their joy and their peace. And we ask that you would do miracles in their lives, that you'd show yourself faithful to them. Help us be your hands and your feet to those that are around us, loving them and caring for them, sacrificing from our own resources to help those in need, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We love you. It is well with our soul. Amen. 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 Yeah, hand clap the Lord. He's a good God. Why don't you say hello to a few people around you? Handshake, fist bump, introduce yourself. Learn a name or two. Happy that you're here this morning. What a beautiful summer morning to come and worship God together this morning. Amen. If you're a guest with us, we're real excited to have you. We're thankful that you're here. There's a guest card in the seat, or you can scan the QR code or do it digitally if you're online. We'd love to know that you're here. We'd like to send a note of thanks. And if you're here in person as a guest, we have a gift for you on your way out on the right-hand side in the lobby. Go see somebody there at the New Here table. We'd love to give you that gift. As we continue in this attitude of worship, I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward. We're going to receive our tithes and our offerings. We appreciate all that everyone does to support the work of God in this community, of this church. We appreciate you. If you're a guest, we don't want you to feel any sort of pressure to give. Feel free to, but don't feel pressure. You can. It's okay to let that basket keep on going by. I don't feel like anybody's looking at you. We're not eyeballing you. Like, who's putting money in? No. It's a joy to give. It's a joy to give back into of our resources, of what God's provided for us, to give it back to Him. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so very much for all that you do for us. Thank you for being alive and well in our community. Thank you for answering prayers, and thank you for teaching and guiding and leading us. Be with us, Father God, as we apply these resources to your kingdom work in this community and in other parts of the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Unfortunately, you don't get to see Kimmy in Broadway this morning. I know you're stuck with me doing announcements from the mic. How boring is that? Now, a couple of quick things before Pastor Corey comes up and brings a message. Worship Wednesday is happening this Wednesday. It's the last one for the summer. And so if you haven't had opportunity and you've been wanting to come, it's your last chance until the fall. So come on out this Wednesday right here, right in this place. A night of worship from 6:30 to 7:30. A great way to kick off the summer. VBX is in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. All right, how many of y'all already have your kids and grandkids and neighbors signed up? Let me see your hands. Come on, let's. Yep, that's not enough hands. All right, at least lie to me and put your hand. No, I'm just kidding. Get signed up. We need you guys to get your kids and grandkids signed up so that we make sure we have enough supplies and art crafts and all of those things that are happening. It's awesome. We've got lots of volunteers signed up. We've got several kids signed up. And so if you're interested in volunteering, we can plug you in there as well. Also coming up is high school summer camp. All right, high school summer camp's coming up. The deadline to sign up for that, if you were planning on going to high school, is June the 10th. June the 10th. And so there's a few more spots open for Young Life Camp as well as the Move Camp that we're doing in July. So there's two opportunities for high school, but let's get you signed up by June the 10th so that we don't miss our deadlines and we've got plenty of opportunity to arrange rooms and all that kind of thing. And that is my announcements. Woo! Good to be back. Pastor Corey's coming up. He and I got to go. I'm sure he'll just share it with it, so I'll let him do that. So come on up, Pastor Corey. I don't want to steal it from him. Oh, you.
Thank you, sir. Y'all go ahead and stand with me if you will, please. I want to read in 1 John chapter 2. It says this: do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Bow your heads with me real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together as family, as friends, and to glorify you, to glorify your name. Lord God, I thank you in advance for your word and what you're going to do in people's hearts and people's lives today. Let your son be glorified. It's in the name of him that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all may be seated. Man, it is good to be back. It's been a couple weeks. I had to have neck surgery, had to have a couple of my vertebrae fused, and I feel great. Hallelujah. I mean, yeah. I'm not doing cartwheels today, but I wasn't planning on doing cartwheels anyway, so we're all right. But no, it is really good to be back, although I do want to recognize and acknowledge how good it is that we have it. Typically, most pastors don't have the opportunity that I have, like I have with Pastor Brandon and Pastor G. Both of these guys filling in over the last 2 weeks. Look, it's amazing. I can step off and let them step in, and look, the Word of God is still preached. It's good. It's really good. This last week, my youngest daughter, who I promised I wouldn't mention, my youngest daughter was feeling sick. Not feeling well, started feeling just kind of congested and started just looking tired and sick. And so, being the great parents that me and Melissa are, we did what every good, caring parent would do. Just told her to drink water and go lay down. Go drink some water and lay down. The truth is, I think every single one of us knows that as bad as sickness can be, dehydration can be even worse. dehydration on top of whatever it was, just it makes things horrible. We know this. If you get severely hydrated, you're in troubles. The symptoms are miserable. And of course, one of the first symptoms is thirst. Duh. I mean, right? Which, that's the obvious. But then, in researching and looking up some of the symptoms of dehydration, it said this. It said one of the very next symptoms is that you get irritable. Look at your neighbor and say, "Are you thirsty?" Like, I'm saving marriages right here, right now. Counseling 101. No more do you say, "Oh, wow, you look very irritable." You just say, "Are you thirsty?" So, irritable, we get fatigued, and then those lead into confusion and weakness, and the symptoms just like they snowball, they go on and on and on. There's a crazy amount of symptoms that come from simply just not having enough water. And we know what to do. I mean, look, as good as a Coke is, we know that ultimately water's what we need. If you're sick, you need to drink extra water. If you're in a hot area, you drink extra water. If you're exerting a lot of excess energy, you're sweating it out, you need more water. We know what to do when we get thirsty, and we know what to do to avoid the symptoms of physical dehydration. Yes, it's rain. Like every head, all of this. Yes. Well, thank you, God. So my question, though, this morning is we know what to do when we feel dehydrated physically, but do we know what to do when we feel empty inside? When all of a sudden, inside, internally, things feel dried up. You feel dehydrated. You feel irritable, miserable, all of the above. Scripture tells us, and it's the premise of a lot of my thought before and coming up with this series, Equipped. And it's this scripture that I love and I hold on to, I cling on to. It's you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. You, as a follower of Christ, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And yet, don't you know that there are times when you don't feel like you know anything? It's not just because you have teenagers in the house. It's because life comes at you. You don't feel like you know anything. You feel physically, spiritually, and mentally exhausted, worn out, tired, done. Now, naturally, the natural thing for us to do is look around and think, well, I'm empty here. I need to fix this. And so what we do is we look around and we see what it is that we need. For some of us, it's, I need downtime. Netflix and chill. I just need some alone time, or I need to get alone. I need to read a book. Others in here, you may be more about accomplishments. And so for you, it's looking for that next big achievement. It's the thought that, okay, well, if I can hit a goal. If I can accomplish that thing, then that'll suffice. That will make me feel better about where I'm at. If I accomplish this, if I do this, if I can only. Other people look to relationships. Could be theirs, could be somebody else's. But they look at the relationship and they think, I need a relationship like that. That would fix me. That would help me. Others turn to a substance. And look, a substance doesn't have to be illegal. The substance could just as easily be legal. We turn to things. We want to buy more stuff. We overindulge in food. And all the while, all we're doing is looking to fill the dryness in our souls. This emptiness. This internal hurting, longing, dehydration. Others are surviving for the weekend. I need a day off. I need one more. If I can just make it to Friday, if I can make it, I can rest on Saturday. Others, it's the vacation. If I can just make it to the vacation, we can get gone, we can be out there, and I can forget the cares and the worries of the world if I can just go somewhere else. And yet, every single one of these things, every one of them, we know they don't last. It satisfies for a moment. It's exciting while you're there, and then all of a sudden, it's not. It doesn't last. We're living life filled with constant emptiness and dryness. Typically, it's because we're trying to satisfy a spiritual hunger and thirst with things that are temporary. And temporary things are not lasting things. That's my profound Greek statement for the day. Temporary things are not lasting things. I mean... Duh, Corey, yeah. They're not things that can satisfy. Everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Man, that's powerful. That verse starts off and it tells us, do not love the world. The Bible has two ways that it references the world. The first being the world is simply God's creation. It's everything that we see around us. It's humanity. It's us. It's you and I. It's God's creation and everything in it. God said he made us and he said it's good. That's good world. And that's the world that he came for. That's for God so loved the world that he died. He loved and died. The second definition of world, or the world, that it can mean is this text references. It's how we view, how we live life through our personal choices, our sin nature. It's our flesh, our worldly mind. Our worldly mind is a mind that is continually self-focused. Our worldly mind is a mind that is continually self-righteous. It's easy to see it in everybody else. There's a lot of agreement, and y'all are looking right at me, but hey, I know you were talking about your neighbors, so thank you. A worldly mind is constantly self-indulgent, and yet, at the same time, constantly discontent. Predominantly concerned with honoring self. Looking for others to honor them. Instead of looking for from God and to live a life honoring God. That's That's the other, the world. Now, I put it in a very bad light there, but it says, why, I asked, do we not love the world? Because honestly, I mean, being real, I like the world. Hear me. The world can be good. The world can be good. So what does God mean then when he says don't love the world? The Greek word that's used here in this scripture, do not love the world, when we see that word love, we typically think of the noun. And the noun is the word that this is derived from. It's agape, which is God's love. This is the love that God has for us. But this word here is, it's actually an action verb. It's an act of our will. It's when you and I choose or we prefer. What we do when we choose or prefer is we highly value, we place pleasure in something. Do not love the world. Look, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that God would choose, would prefer us. That's the action of his love. God loves. That action shown is, I love you. It's an action. It's a constant choice. It's a choosing. It's a preferential treatment. And then he asks for that in return. But we get in trouble because we begin to prefer or choose the world. Again, not that the world is bad necessarily, but what we do to prefer, choose the world over him to fill the void, to fill the emptiness, to fill the hurt. Understand, your preference is the key to this word. Your preference is the key here. Do not love, do not prefer, choose the world. It's a choice. We actively choose one thing over another. It's our choosing to give preference to things over God. And why? Why would we actively choose, prefer the things of this world as a source when you and I just agreed we know those sources are going to leave us empty? And yet still we choose, we prefer these things over coming back to God as our source. And he provides the rain. The Bible tells us that the things of this earth are passing, fleeting, like a vapor, a cloud, chasing after the wind. When we do that, what we're doing is we're grasping at something that's not real. We're grasping at an illusion. We think it's a source. We know it's not. So what we're doing is we're grasping at an illusion. And an illusion means you're being deceived. Ouch. An illusion means you're being deceived. It means we're looking at something. We're believing that it's something that it's not. The illusion is how the enemy baits our flesh into things that can be good and yet we think will bring fulfillment. We think it'll bring joy, and it can't. And when it can't, what happens is it brings emptiness instead. It brings despair. It brings hopelessness. It brings hurt. It brings longing. As long as we continue to grasp at things we can't attain. Worse yet, as believers, it makes us ineffective. It makes us unproductive when we proclaim hope and yet our actions show us chasing happiness, grasping at things. Instead of clinging to the Savior, living from Him, and what ends up happening is we get nowhere. We get nowhere. But again, look, it's easy to get fooled by illusions, by things that are counterfeit. We get an illusion that there's something that looks like it's life-giving, and it isn't. Look, that's what happened all the way back in the Garden of Eden. At the very beginning, Adam and Eve fell for the illusion that there would be something more from the forbidden tree, when God had already given them everything they needed. God had given them everything they needed, and they fell for the illusion that there was something more. And so they made a choice. They made a preference. It happened with the Israelites time and time again. God would provide, and they would continue to search for, to long for more. God gave them everything they needed, and yet they would continue to grumble, complain, and long for more. There's a passage in Jeremiah 2:11. It says this. This is God speaking to his people. But my people have exchanged their glorious God. They've chosen to prefer, exchange their glorious God for worthless idols, things with zero benefit. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror. My people have committed these two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Broken cisterns that cannot hold water. And yet, what do? We go and we try and we try and we try to craft from the culture that we've been living in, from the culture that we're looking at, from the culture that we live among. And then we start conforming to. And what we do is we start to create these cisterns, trying to create life from what isn't life-giving. Okay, what is a cistern? Because, yeah, that's not a word I use often. A cistern is just a water storage container. It simply holds water. It's not a source for water. You see, with a well, you tap into a water source. You draw out something that's already there. But a cistern just stores water. And God's telling us, look at these storage places, these cisterns that you are building. This is your idolatry. This is your heart that's been captivated, wandered off into something that isn't a life source. God is telling you what you're going for isn't life-giving. You've fallen for an illusion. You have a false God, and you're off. Off the mark. I had to repeat it because I don't know if it dropped the first time. And I thought, ooh, well. It's fun coming back and your staff tells you, hey, microphone glitched on us. Why didn't it ever glitch on you? So now I can go, you heard it. Adam and Eve fall, they struggled with this. God's chosen people, they struggled with this. The early church struggled with this, and we're still struggling with it today. So many of us so quickly fall for illusions, trying to fill a need, and we're using something that isn't life, can't fill a need. The Apostle Paul, he said this. He said, basically, look, it's time for you to grow up. Stop acting like a baby. You're still acting worldly. You're still fighting. You're still jealous. You're still quarreling with each other. You're saying, I follow this guy, I follow that guy, and I'm right and you're wrong. But it's all about you. That's Corey's translation of what Paul said. It's a sin nature that's still going on inside. You see, what it is, it's instead of walking equipped with the knowledge, the recognition that you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things, instead of living your life equipped from being a new creation, living in love and forgiveness, you're living worldly. It's true then, it's true now. And we should know better. We should know better, and yet we still look at things in our life. The illusions. The counterfeit source. And what happens is, instead of drawing from living water, we create broken cisterns that run dry. We use them as a substitute to try and fill us. What are these cisterns that you may have dug? A broken container that a lot of people try and draw life from sometimes, it could be even your relationships. Relationships are wonderful. Relationships, I think, are the foundation of Scripture. I think relationships are the foundation of what God is doing here in this place. It's about relationships. It's about relationships. And yet, what happens? God wants us to have relationships, but when we make them our everything, when we look to relationships, whether that be family, children, a romantic relationship, marriage, friendships, whatever, if you're using them to get filled up, you're always going to be left empty. Another possible broken cistern could be looking to life to provide you pleasure. Looking at hobbies, experiences, vacations. Looking at substances, the food we eat, anything that will give us entertainment. And again, God designed things to give us pleasure. Pleasure is okay. We're not supposed to live life. I'm a Christian. I'm rigid. Come on. Again, God wants us to enjoy life, but we can't fill our soul, that dryness, that emptiness inside, with pleasures or delight. What about maybe a broken cistern being knowledge? I think so many times we get distracted by our thinking. You're doing it now. You're getting distracted by your thinking because I said you're, yeah. It's the things that we know. We get puffed up. Well, I know who's right. I know what's right. And it's you that's wrong, so I'm obviously better. It's a mentality that takes us from things, again, that aren't bad. Knowledge is good, and yet Scripture tells us knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up, and yet love builds up. You see, the problem comes when we start to think that, well, we know the right thing, the important thing, and so it makes us better than. It's what I know about in politics. It's what I know and who is right in religion. It's whatever that thing is, but what it is, it's a version of I'm smarter, I'm better. And we put this in place of a life-giving relationship with God. Because God has called you to love others. So the very moment you start to believe you're better than, you lose any opportunity to minister to. Maybe your cistern is status. Whatever the success is for you, it could be a job that you're putting your hope in. It could be the influence that you have, how many likes that you need. It's the possession, it's the appearance. And yet all of these things, every single one of them, they're all about self. All about self. We're trying to fill our lives exalting ourselves. And yet every one of these things, they're good things. God gives us these in our lives. God gives us these in our lives, and they're blessings. The problem is we start to seek the gift instead of the giver. We start to seek the things, and things in life, all of creation, every good thing should point us back to the one who's worthy, the Creator who is forever to be praised. Everything should point us back to Him. Every good and perfect gift is from above. But they're gifts. They're not the prize. The prize is Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we need to recognize where it is, when it is that we've wandered. Where it is that instead of following Jesus, instead of pursuing Him wholeheartedly, what we've done is we've actually created a kingdom of self. You kingdom. You have preferred, you have chosen the world, living for its glory, seeking its wisdom, prioritizing it, the world, its agenda, and all that you need from it for you. You've clung to what is temporary. And what happens is, and you know it's happening, is you're slowly, slowly emptying yourself, depleting yourself of what is truly life. You're choosing what is depleting. So if all of this, as great as it is, if it all just brings emptiness, how do we fill the emptiness? How do we fill that longing? How do we fill that desire that's placed in us by God? Wait, the desire is placed in us by God. I don't know. Maybe if the desire is placed in us by God, if we seek God, then what happens? Oh, the desire. Oh, hey, it's starting to click. Again, it's this Greek. It's amazing. Like, I'm the knowledge. Guys, we must listen to the voice of the Spirit. That's why He equipped us with His Spirit. We listen to the voice of the Spirit. If he's convicting us of something, no matter small or large, whatever it is, we listen to the voice. We recognize we've gotten off track. We've tried to fill it with things of this world, and we listen for the voice. How do I hear the voice, Corey? How do you hear the voice? How do you hear the Spirit? Simple. It's repent and humble yourself before God. You got to come before God humbly. An attitude that recognizes if there's something wrong, it's probably starting. Like a lot of times we go to God and, God, what are you doing? And God's looking at you going, really? Are you kidding me right now? It's coming humbly before God. Scripture even tells us, God resists the proud. God resists the proud, and yet what does He do? He gives grace to the humble. Man, it's grace that I need. Thank God for grace, because grace is what made choosing me possible. Grace is what made His preference for God so loved the world. Grace is wonderful. Grace is amazing. Praise God for grace. That's why we submit to him. That's why we resist the evil one and we draw near to God. It's an act of humility. You see what it is? It's a choice of recognizing that you're not going to draw from empty cisterns that won't hold water. It's drawing near to God. And then in drawing near to God, you draw from the source, live from the source. Jesus is the source. That's how you live by the Spirit. Psalm 63, the psalmist David, he writes this and explains life so well. He says this, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul, it thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Because your steadfast love is better than life. It's better than the things of this world. My lips will praise you. I will bless you, God, as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you. It will praise you with joyful lips." You see, the opposite of loving the world is to seek love and delight in God, living for his will, the glory of his name, his kingdom. Look, that's where life, that's where fulfillment is found. That's where joy is found. Allowing the Spirit of God to be your source. Allowing God to be your source. He reminds us of our calling. Oh, Corey, what's my calling? Well, very simply, your calling is to be holy. Your calling is to live in the world, but not to live of the world. Your calling is simply to be holy. In your life, in your sphere of influence, within your world, your calling is to be holy. To be in the world, but not of the world. God's Spirit reminds us to live by the Spirit, to walk by faith. His Spirit teaches us not to conform to this world, to be called to live and follow Christ, to become like him. You see, what he does is to walk in the Spirit, he reminds us to view people as the object of his great compassion. That's the hard part. Because everything else is about self. But this is actually taking the time to recognize and realize that the people you live among are the object of his compassion. The people that he wants us to reconcile back to himself. It starts here. It starts with us. It begins with the church. We are his ambassadors. We got to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh, filled with him. Look, you can live empty. You can do it. I've done it. You can live empty and you can live dried up. You can live trying to seek the next broken cistern. But only for a while. After a while, the symptoms of dehydration, they set in. It starts to become obvious. You start to get thirsty. Maybe irritable. Exhausted, weak, confused, uncertain. The world is giving you things that are going to keep you dried up. And when you live of the world, you're thirsty and dried up. But when you live by the Spirit, you get so much more than just things. All of a sudden, when you're walking in the Spirit, you get contentment from God instead of thirst. You're filled with peace of God instead of irritability. That'll irritate you, just trying to say it. God fills you with his peace. He fills you with his goodness. Instead of what was going on before, God pours out into you, filled with love for people. You're not tired and fatigued, but now you're filled with life. I have come that you might have life. Not exhaustion, not fatigue. I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. You see, when you go to God, he gives you rest. He fills you with hope. Through his Son, Jesus Christ, by walking in the Spirit, you're filled with faith, hope, walking with the mind of Christ. And where the world, and we know it, where the world leaves you weak and spent, when we live by the Spirit, it's the joy of God that's represented inside. That's when the fruits of the Spirit start becoming evident in your life, when you're living by the Spirit. If you don't have love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control, I skipped to one or two in there, but you know. But if that's not operating in your life, maybe you need to just humbly come before God and say, God, I need you. As I close, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and play. But as they do, what I want you to simply recognize is that you and I have a choice. All of it. Everything that we have that looks around us, is around us, we have a choice. It's who will you agape? Who will you choose to love? Will our affection choose to follow the world, or will we choose to trust him? I want to read these last two passages. In Matthew 5 and John chapter 4, these are the words of Jesus. I'll tell you what, y'all go ahead and stand with me as I close. Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." John 4, he said, "Everyone who drinks this," referring to natural water, "everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again." This water, listen here, this water, this source will well up in them like a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Guys, when you and I reach for things, we will always be left still thirsty. But those who reach for God, those who yearn for him, those who long for him, as though your body was yearning for water in a dry land, in a desolate area, in a place where it doesn't look like there is any water. In that moment, when you can choose, when you can prefer, when you can recognize that my hope, my trust, my everything, Lord God, is in you. You're choosing the source of life. You're tapping into a well, a source, a spring of living water. It's not an imitation cistern, but it's the well of eternal life. Guys, that's what God wants from us. To seek him, to yearn for him, to desire for him. Yes, the things of this world can be good, but the very moment that you start to make them your source, you're going to be left empty. Alone. It's him and him alone. Bow your heads with me, Heavenly Father. I thank you so much, Lord God. I praise you that you do long for and desire to reveal yourself to us. Lord God, as little as we can be, Father, we come before you humbly and we recognize, Lord Jesus, the agape that you desired, you created, you formed and fashioned each and every one of us because you longed for that relationship with us. And so, Lord God, today I pray across this room that we would recognize the things, whether good or bad, whether illegal or legal, Lord God, the in our life that we're trying to draw source from. Father, that you would reveal to us the areas of our lives where we're looking to things rather than looking to you. God, I pray that you would allow us, Father, to stop and just to hear the voice. Your Spirit leading us and guiding us in all truth, in all righteousness. With every head bowed, every eye closed, as I continue to pray, just real quickly, what I want to do, if there's anybody here who has been feeling empty, dried up, hurting, longing, yearning, whatever the situation, whatever it is, if there's something inside of you that you recognize, I've been seeking, I'd love the opportunity to pray for you right where you're at across this room. We're going to pray together as a body of believers, but across this room, if that's you, I encourage you, just lift your hands to God. The room, we're going to lift our hands to God and say, God, I'm giving you this thing. God, I've tried to fill this with desires, with things, with relationships, with accomplishments, with all of these things, Lord God. And Father, I recognize it's a broken cistern, Lord God. It's not holding water. It's drawing empty, Lord Jesus. And I need a source. I need life. So, Father, across this room, together with our hands raised, we praise you, we exalt you, and we lift you up. We recognize, Lord God, that you alone are our source, our everything, our need, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing right here in our lives, in and through your people, Lord God. How you're using us, even in our emptiness, God, pour out, turn our eyes upon you. When we simply look to you, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, God, when we recognize you and you alone as our everything, then everything else grows strangely dim. God, I pray today that people in this room would recognize, Lord Jesus, and that across this room is a body of believers, Lord, that we would join together in recognizing and choosing to love you, to love your people, to love the hurting, to love the broken, Lord God, to love our neighbors, to love those around us, Lord Jesus, because they're yours. To not live in some sort of haughty attitude, God, but rather to recognize we've been given, now we can give that same gift to others. God, let your name be glorified through our lives as we leave this building, as we walk from here. Let your name, Father, be lifted up in everything we say and everything we do. It's in the name of your Son we pray. We walk by the Spirit, not by sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Guys, give a clap up to the Lord God again. Hallelujah. Come on. Guys, I look forward to seeing you on Worship Wednesday. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday afternoon. Be blessed in the grace and the glory of God. God bless you all.